This hour was brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.
Al's brother and the O-Dog battling it out in the trenches, running the 40-yard dash up at the combine at TSN and CTV. And it was just incredible video. It was incredible video. It was incredible perseverance, athleticism. The O-Dog, this is shocking to me. I thought you were motoring. I thought you were moving.
Dude, I did too. I guarantee you he screwed me over on the time. Let's play me again. Let's play me again and try to watch it in real time and get a better feel. And then we'll go back to Al's brother. Here's me.
So you're slow out of the gate, man. Wow,
yeah, that's
slow.
It. Your first three steps are a bit of a bad.
It's like an optical illusion. You're running backwards. I can't believe how slow you are out of the gate.
First, let me see the beginning again. I'm not that slow. I don't think it's that slow. Do me again there.
Yeah. Watch, dude, that's really slow.
It's like the opposite of
all
mine.
Right, stop it. That's it for me. Take mine off.
Yeah, see, you get hauling at the end there. Al's brother, you're right. You're motoring out of the gate, and you are swimming, buddy.
I want you to play Al's brother right now and watch the knee flexion halfway through. Here he is out of the gate.
Stop bending his knees. He's a hobby
bend
horse.
His knees from the first three steps.
I'm telling you, I thought I was going to fall and topple over. So I was like, I got to get upright. And it just screwed everything up.
I know that feeling. Yeah. That is just an absolutely spectacular race.
I don't think I've ran like that since like high school. So probably like a decade since I've done something like that.
We finished that. All we did was run 40 meters and we got over to the vertical. And we're both panting. And I look at Al's brother and I go, look at us. All we did was run 40 meters and we needed an oxygen mask.
Just gassed. Absolutely incredible. Gassed.
Now so, quick question. Did you put eyes on Duthie? You didn't tape that one? You just had him being a hero?
No, we got Duthie. Let's see if we can roll up Duthie. We did get it. You could see when he busts
here goes
his thigh.
Yeah, you can see Duthie here.
He's moving okay there.
Yeah, he can run. He can run.
Does he come up short? Oh, yes, he does.
He's got the Michael Johnson.
9 seconds.
Isn't that Michael Johnson?
Yeah, Michael Johnson.
Yeah, he's a chicken.
Yeah. He pulled out O'Donovan.
Bailey, wasn't it?
Bailey, absolutely. Down at the Dome. He's a chicken. Yeah, 150-meter race.
Yeah, he came up short. Came up with the bad quad. And what? Michael Johnson blew a hammy, wasn't it?
Well,
wasn't
it was totally bogus.
So he claimed, allegedly?
Absolutely. It's one of the great post-race commentaries of all time. Donovan Bailey's like just calling him out. He's like, you're a chicken. You're a chicken. He pulled the chute. Everyone knows it because Bailey blew past him about 50 meters into the race.
Yeah, exactly.
So the O-Dog clocked in at 10.6. That's.
Would you shut up? I know you're going to read that number.
It's an official
it's a big number.
I mean, it's registered. It's officially in the combine. It's not much I can do about that. And Al's brother is in at 10.10. So
10.1.
10.1.
10.1. I beat Theo.
Yeah, you're right. You beat O-Dog. What about the vertical jump? Do you guys have access to the numbers?
Who's got hops?
We do.
Who's got hops?
Okay, how do we want to reveal this? Because my understanding is the video is a little bit grainy. It's not perfect. Okay. Al's brother is up first. We could play it. And we are relaying this to the radio audience, people streaming online, podcasting or whatever. So Al's brother is going to go first here with a vertical jump. And there he is. Okay, up against a brick wall.
Very focused, very focused.
It's basically, you know, Lucas Oil Stadium. Oh. Whoa.
Hops. The Easter Bunny, Al's brother.
I keep thinking that wall's fake and the wall falls down and he falls with it.
Oh, right, man. The worst vertical jump I've ever seen in my life.
Hey, we got another one coming up right now. All right, so that could change real quick.
Hang on, what was your vertical?
My vertical, or do you want to wait until we see yours and then we could say what it was?
Okay,
let's see O-Dogs. Let's put O-Dogs up here because he's got a bad wing here, too. I'll throw you a ball.
No, that's my good wing.
Okay. Let's see what he's got. Oh, my goodness.
Both rang in the bell.
Oh, man.
That's worse than Al's brother's.
Oh. I don't know. It's close. I think you both could have got a little piece of paper underneath your feet. I'm not sure.
Maybe. Okay. Results are in. Al's brother, I'm sure you have access to the results.
Can yeah.
Start with your own number. What did you clock in on with the vertical jump?
I had a 17-inch vertical.
That is highly debatable.
The O-Dog was 13. Once again, victorious. And I have JP who measured with me to prove it. But that, there it is right
there.
That's
true.
There it is.
Look at that. Put that in.
That is going to be somebody's screensaver for the rest of life.
Look
at the belly. Jeez.
Honestly, if Phil Knight from Nike isn't watching that, saying, I've got a whole new line, a new brand, he's missing out on a massive opportunity.
This is something else. Like, that is. But that is. That is the everyday man. If there was a brand called the everyday man, you guys would be the poster boys for it, because that's basically how people are.
Phil Knight.
It's just a spectacular outing.
We need a picture of Air Jordan right beside that.
Right beside both of them.
I'll tell you right now, you be quiet, Hayes. I'm not happy about the results. We can keep the Overdrive Olympics happening every time I'm in here for a Leaf game. We could come up with a couple events, and we can battle again, because I'm not happy about losing those two contests.
That's tough.
Yeah, you're
I'll do the 100-meter. If you want to get dirty and nasty, let's do the hunge.
That's my
concern. We were gassed at 40.
And we don't want to put anybody in a bad situation, you know, like 100, like that could... How long would that take you?
That
it would take
honestly,
you 25 seconds.
If it took them 10 seconds, no, more than that, dude, because it would be more than double. Do you know how slow they were going by the time they hit the finish line? I don't know if they could do 100 in under 30 seconds.
No,
if we were on grass and had cleats and everything, maybe we could do a little bit better. I would have a bit more support in my run, but I don't know.
I want to support
somebody's
it.
getting carried off on a stretcher.
That would be the concern.
That's the thing. Like, the 40 was enough that I will say, Al's brother, your arms were moving faster than your legs.
You're in here Monday, Al's brother, I'm in here. We'll do the 100 and prove that we can do it under 30. I'm sorry. I'm not putting up with that behavior.
Yeah, that's a bold statement from yours truly. I'll give
big,
you that.
But like, I don't, yeah.
Just
let's
go.
Let's review the tape one more time. We got Ray calling in here in a moment. Let's start with O and then Al's brother. Just to you guys tell me how you think this would extrapolate over, you know, 100 meters. So there's the O dog. It's just look at how long it takes him to get past the truck.
That last 20 meters was just killer.
It's a killer.
And here comes Forrest. Here comes the Forrest Gump right here.
Ben Johnson struck.
Watch
I feel
those
like
legs.
Pants are gonna fall down too. Like,
oh my God. That is exceptional talent from both
the
of
greatest.
You. We love it.
I love this.
All right, let's bring in our good stuff, Al's brother, and we'll continue this. Right, the combine it can go on for weeks, months if need be. We'll continue this. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here is our TSN hockey analyst Ray Ferraro. Ray, we've clocked them both in. The O Dog and Al's brother running the 40-yard dash. O clocked in at 10.6 and Al's brother at 10.1. So what do you make of that?
I'm really sour that I wish I would have got a heads up on this to get my TV on a little quicker so I could have watched it, because I'm now past it. I would love to have seen this.
You will, believe me.
It's going to be trending.
Sandwich?
What?
Did you stop for a sandwich? Like,
buddy,
where'd you go?
I knew it wasn't good, but when I watched it, Hayes made the comment, I'm not exactly quick out of the gate, but the problem is it doesn't get any better in the mid part, and the ending's no good either. It's a bad stride. Everything's bad.
So can this be worked on, or is this... Is this just like it's out the door? Forget
well, we're doing
it
Monday. I'm back in here, and Hayes thinks that me and Al's brother, we can't do 100 in under 30 seconds, 100-meter dash. So now Monday, we got to do the 100.
Ray, when you see this video, you extrapolate the final 20 yards from these two. Honestly, it's slower than an average walking pace.
Yeah, it is speed walking.
Just more body movement, right? Like their arms are going.
Here's the thing, though. If it's 10-6 for 40 meters. I think you can do it under 30.
Ray, I'm telling you, you got to see the video. I hope so. I hope for his sake. And now that he is now, Ray, you got to understand, and you deserve this description and the context here. They did not get any chance to warm up. You guys didn't do any laps. You didn't stretch. It was basically right out of the car and into the race, which doesn't help anybody. But I don't know.
How do you think the warm-up, running a couple of laps, was going to help? It's farther.
Well, that's true.
I don't know.
I mean, a couple hammy stretches, something would have helped out
there. Like you touch your toes or something, and then off you go. But they both just started. Al's brother looked like Forrest Gump at the end. He had the wooden hobby horse legs going. He didn't bend his knees the last 30 meters. But he had the arm action, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he did.
A bear. It was a bear chasing another animal. It was awesome.
He was hungry, too. He had just come out of hibernation, and he was tracking something.
Chasing. There is going to be music put to this. This is going to be trending Canada-wide.
There it is. Al's brother, he's just out of the den, and he is
Oh my!
Yeah, it's
seriously.
It's beautiful.
He's got his knee braces on the wrong way.
Ray, there was no flexion in there.
He beat
Okay,
I didn't know that. That's even better.
He beat O in the 40 yard in the official.
Go
clock
ahead,
the
play him mine. Let him see mine.
All right, here's O. As you're watching it, look at how slow he is out of the gate. It is just
the first three steps are tough,
and it doesn't speed up.
it's like a record on the wrong speed.
Exactly, it's at 0.5 speed.
Yeah, I love it though.
It's incredible.
And you know what?
Oh, I'm so happy.
I'm laughing. I wouldn't do any better. Like I'm not a great runner, even though I'm.
I'll tell you, it's tough to do worse.
What's next on the decathlon though? Like
well,
on the
we're doing 100 meter on Monday because Hayes
But I mean, and then what? Like, is it all just running, or is it going to be like?
Well, there's like a pylon NFL route they run. It's like a box pattern. They time it. We might try that too.
Oh, you're going to do the actual combine stuff. That would be good.
Well, I lost to Al's brother in the vertical too. I had a 13 inch vertical. It's embarrassing to even say it, but that's what it is.
What an athlete. Too. What an athlete. The athletic ability of these two up at the combine, it's incredible. So it's out there. It's officially been clocked, and I guess we're all lucky to have witnessed this. Yeah. And we're getting a lot of feedback, too. So
thanks.
We'll see
what
people can say. Yeah, you can imagine. Absolutely.
Well, we got to get that picture up, or that video, those videos up as fast as possible for people who are streaming.
And the vert shot of the two of them, it's basically Michael Jordan in 1987.
Hayes said Phil Knight catches wind of this. He's calling us both.
Yeah.
Yeah, there it is. Look at that shot on the right. That's the new jump man. That's Al's brother's Jumpman shot. Anyway, Ray, did you hear Sheldon Keefe try to dance around the trade deadline question earlier today where he was posed, which he knew was coming. Like everyone got it. But Babcock got it all the time. Keefe got it last year. Every coach in the league gets it. It's not like he doesn't know what's coming. But I think he did a pretty good job of basically saying, I'm not going to say anything. Like I'm not going to out one position or one player because it just doesn't – it's not going to help them because that player is going to know exactly how the coach feels about him.
Right. I mean, there's no way for him to answer. And I think that – so one of the follow-ups was, you know, if the roster's the same, are you going to be happy with it? Well, like, what are you going to say? You really can't really say anything about anything. And the best answer always is, well, ask the GM.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Like there's – and the other thing, even if the coach was going to say something, I mean, they're not going to talk about what their plans are publicly anyway. I mean, I don't know, guys. I mean, like, look at their team. You can see where, you know, they keep moving the pieces around looking for something that they're happy with. And that means, in my opinion anyway, look, we got a good team, but we'd like to make it better because we can't quite get the set thing we like. whatever it is.
Yep.
And so, you know, like, yeah, they probably could use another winger. They would probably like a little bit of depth on defense. Can you do it? Can you find a way to do it? Can you move enough money out to bring enough money in to, you know, to make an impact addition? I think they would like to do that. I still keep going back to guys like the, as bad as the power play's been, I somehow think that's going to work itself out somewhere. They've got to, you know, I like that they're going back to what they were doing a little earlier with their personnel together when they were, you know, a far more dangerous group. But in the playoffs, the five-on-five play is always the most important stuff. That's the stuff that carries your team. And their second line, you know, with Tavares and Nylander, doesn't produce a great deal at 5-on-5. So as hard as Galchenyuk's worked and as positive as the reviews have been, I think it would, you know, that's kind of the spot I look at where if they could find somebody to help drive a little bit a 5-on-5, then maybe that's, you know, the priority spot.
Ray, as far as the power play goes, you were great on the power play, and I'm pretty sure you were good at a down-low play. I would just like to see that kind of change the location of where the puck is coming from. And I'd love to see Marner down on the goal line. He could make that slot pass to Tavares. He could try to find Matthews seam. It would just kind of open up things, and if it doesn't work, maybe they could shift back to normality. But I would just love to see the puck go down low to Marner on the goal line, see what he can do from there. Because everything is... They know what they're doing. It's, you know, they go up to the blue line, they circle back, and it works. If they get that shot, it's great. But it's not working right now, so just change the location of the puck.
Well, if you flip the power play upside down, like if they were to decide to do that tonight, say, you might catch Winnipeg unprepared. You might catch a different attack that they're not really sure where the puck's going. I mean, we all... You know, we're all here all the time about the detail and all that stuff that the teams go through, the special teams in particular. Man, their coaches have watched every power play that Toronto has. And so any angle or any option that they have from their current setup, they've seen somewhere. And you're right. You played the power play too. Like, just something has to flip. Something has to change. And if it's Marner, as you say, Marner to the goal line, or they flip back over to the other sides, or, you know, or it becomes more of a shot power play, maybe, like something different.
Yeah. Even do something just, where you're like, oh, where Winnipeg's got to go, what the hell's this?
Well, you're right. But let me ask you guys this on the panel, and is Ovi, you guys know where Ovi's shooting from.
Yeah, you're right.
Like,
nobody can ever stop it.
But my point is, Auston Matthews, you can see his wrist starting to get stronger and stronger as the games go by here.
Right.
Like, that one-timer is going to be available sooner than not. And you know what? There's another – if it – we clearly it wasn't available for a pocket of games there. So they had to adjust. So teams knew all of a sudden Matthews is in front of the net. He scored a goal, I believe it was against Edmonton, a redirect in front, where they had to move him around to get him out there because he wasn't available on that one-timer. As he continues to get healthy, like I'm of the mindset, maybe I'm wrong, is, yeah, you can try different looks, but if you've got a weapon over there, have him over there and establish your shot, move things around, but you've got a good enough passer in a guy that like Marner who can establish a shot and then fake and fire it through the seam. Now, I think it's a matter of time. I think it's a matter of time.
Everyone went into a slump,
right,
so to speak, when Matthews all of a sudden wasn't at 100%.
Well, his shot wasn't available.
Okay, one thing about the Washington power play that, in my opinion, has made this thing run like it does for years. When Mike Green was there, and then it was John Carlson, they've always had three shooting options.
Right.
It's really hard.
Oshie in the slot, right.
Oshie in the slot, Carlson or Green on the point, and, of course, Ovi. And then you've got those two magicians in Kuznetsov and Backstrom moving the puck. So there's always different places the puck comes from. Yeah, it all kind of starts in that one place, but they can shoot it out of Carlson's hands. They get it into Oshie. And how many times have you know you seen that one-timer come from Oshie that's a goal, and then, of course, Ovi doing his thing. The Leafs don't have that similar option. Like, who does? I mean, not... Nobody. Nobody's got those kind of shooters to stack on top of each other. So I think they're, you know, they're certainly in a rut. Certainly Matthews wrist is hampered there. You know, how dangerous they can be from that side of the ice, but that looks like it's going to clear itself up pretty quickly here. A change sometimes just for change's sake, it's like rattling the lines around even for a period. Hey, they haven't scored in 9 games on the power play. I think it's 1 for 27. So a little change, it's not going to damage much.
Agreed.
Yeah, I would like to see something. I would suspect that at some point that's going to come. If it hasn't already, I think we can bank on it, if not tonight, certainly by the course of the weekend. I got to give Montreal credit. You know, we talked all that week when they were shut down, and I was basically projecting or prognosticating that they're going to have some
trouble.
Issues coming out of this, absolutely. And, yes, it's Ottawa, but Ottawa's been playing a lot better. And they play it, you know, you play it tough and they make you earn your points. And they dismantled them last night. They did the same thing to Edmonton a couple of nights ago. I'm impressed. You know, I'm really impressed. And maybe that week, is it possible it gave Dominique Ducharme an opportunity to reset mm-hmm. as the new
Help
head coach?
Help them find their kind of new identity possibly, Ray.
Potentially, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I thought the first game against Edmonton they were going to come out and, you know, and like just be cats running all over the place, all this energy. They haven't played in a while, and they were really good. I mean, they got Edmonton was half asleep for, you know, they played a second night in two game or second game in two nights, but they were half asleep for 15 minutes and the game was over. And then so now they played two games. They're 8-1 goals against, 4 and against. They're, you know, they're 4-0-2. In their last 6 games, and you know, maybe it's a, you know, you're right, a little bit more time to, you know, to get the message out to the guys, but they couldn't do anything. They still had to go out and execute. I think they've been a much better team. A lot of us have been focused in on the way that they keep shooting themselves in the foot in overtime. You know, they've lost so many points, I think 9 of them now in overtime, but they were playing well in a lot of those games. Like they went one game they lost to Winnipeg. Winnipeg scored the first shift of overtime, but Montreal had dominated the game. So the 60 minutes kind of got forgotten in the 35 seconds of overtime. They're going to be a problem. I think that's the type of team that they're healthy. If they are healthy, I wouldn't trust anything Burge says. If he's going to add anybody or not, they're going to, you know, Eric Staal will help them because they're going to ask him to play a limited role. It's not like they're asking him to carry the offense. I think it's a good team. I really do.
I don't know. We never talked about it. What did you guys think? Because I've seen it twice now. I witnessed it live once in Ottawa and then watched it on TV the other night against Montreal Edmonton, but Montreal shadowed McDavid. Like, I don't know if you saw that. They actually had like the old school 1980s, like Ken Linsman shadowing Gretzky. Like, McDavid was skating around and it was Deno, it was Tatar. Like, it was just mirroring him. And
maybe McDavid, they watched some video of Ottawa shutting him down a couple weeks ago. I mean, I'm not going to go back this far, Jamie, but the coach in Ottawa shut McDavid down in the OHL finals 1 year, and maybe he has a recipe and Ottawa watched it. They basically said, DJ Smith, it was like, this guy's not beating us in the OHL finals. And whenever they play Edmonton, they kind of, well, he's destroyed them a bunch. But
In Edmonton, where he can't get the matchups. But in Ottawa, he's been a little bit quieter, right?
Yeah, but that's how you got to do it, man. Why not? Who cares? Just don't let him beat you. Because it's just like all these teams, they got these two or three players. Do not let them beat you. And that was their way.
Well, just think, if you get that responsibility, right, you don't even think about, I would assume, where the puck is. Your whole game is to stay between him and the net.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
Kind of humiliating, but you got to do what you got to do.
It is somewhat. It's not humiliating. You're in the NHL.
It is. It's basically like, don't care about the puck. Just don't let him score.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it is. It's, I don't care what else you do. Just follow this guy around. Like, throw a leash on
him. That's humiliating, Brian.
But he's chewing up the league. So, I mean, that's what Gretzky did. I remember thinking back to it because I watched it live, Nick Paul mirroring him in the neutral zone. And you may not have to mirror him the whole time, but there were certain points on the ice where Ottawa was like, we can't allow this guy to wind it up. So have somebody on him. And watching Montreal, it was the same type of scenario. It was like, We need, and again, Edmonton had played three games in four nights. McDavid was having a night. He was having a bad night to start off with and just wasn't having it that night. It'll be interesting to see how he responds because, believe me, star players, they'll find a way around that as well. So it just, on that particular night, watching Montreal, mirror him and basically try and slow him down and frustrate him, they got to him that night. And that's one night out of 56, but it
right.
was. You could
it
tell.
It should be green light special for Dreisaitl too, though, right? Like,
right.
It's like, you guys go ahead and focus on him.
Yeah, he was
no
good.
Yeah, he was horrible the other night, but... Like if you're put all your eggs in that basket and I'll go do my thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll see. Tough news out in Vancouver, obviously, as well, with the COVID shutdown and more names are coming out and players. I think Edler, Gaudette, Hamonic, Holpe, Hughes, McEwen, Roussel. Those are the latest, and I think members of the coaching staff as well. So they're going to be shut down for a while.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I'm not real sure how they're all going to deal with it. But if that's the case, I think it's, you know, it's going to be 2 weeks, right?
Yep.
Before, I think that's what Jersey went through when they were zapped early in the year. Buffalo did it too.
Buffalo. Yeah.
So there, you know, obviously the fact that this many people are infected is, you know, I mean, it's jarring to see, but you know, the only reason they're any different than anybody else is, you know, they're being tested all the time. But it tells you, you know, in between tests, somewhere they didn't get a test result back, obviously, quick enough.
Yep.
And I think, you know, and Gaudette was seemed to be the first one. So, you know, as soon as that first test slipped through the reporting procedure, if that's indeed the way it went, then all of a sudden you've got this mess. I mean, I don't even know what the league's step forward is, what they're going to do with the games, how they're going to, I mean, are they going to get those games in? Is there a way to do it? I think we're probably headed towards the scenario where it's points percentage that determines playoff spots in some cases.
Got to happen, man.
Yep. I think you're probably right. There's a timeline. You got to get the playoffs going. There's no doubt about that. Anyway, have a great call tonight. Leafs Jets on TSN4. We look forward to it. Have a great weekend. We'll break it all down on Monday.
Yeah, happy Easter to everybody. I hope everybody has a good weekend, and we'll look forward to a good game tonight.
You got it. All right, there he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They take away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Find out more at MapleToyota.com. Raptors in action tonight as well. Steph Curry will not play. So Gilgeous Alexander, Lou Dort didn't play a couple nights ago. Now Steph Curry's out. You'd think this is a win for the Raptors. You'd think.
No chance.
But at the same time, I thought so a couple nights ago. I thought so in Detroit. It's impossible to predict the way things are going. So we'll catch up with Jack, get his take on that. Some other storylines throughout the NBA. The Final Four this weekend of the tournament. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. Golden State is down in Tampa. And Steph Curry will not play tonight. And it's not as if they're tanking. Like, Golden State is in a situation where they can get into the play-in in the Western Conference. And as it currently stands, that's exactly where they are. And they need Steph. Yeah. Like, without Steph Curry, it's just...
Are they get back in the mix when Klay comes back? Or what do you make of that? It's like, I don't know, man.
I think it's over.
2 years for over. Klay not playing. Steph's no kid anymore. He's still awesome, but... I don't know if they put their names back in the hat.
I don't think so. I don't think they have the same aura about them. You know,
no.
they keep talking it up as if they do. Steve Kerr will say that. Steph Curry will say that. Everyone wants to beat us. No, they did 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as that buzzer went and the Raptors won, that was like a dagger that the whole aura of that organization just started to tilt a little bit downwards. I don't know if they can ever get back. As good as Klay and Steph are together when they're just dropping bombs from everywhere out there, I don't know if they get back to contending.
But what a star player added to those two? Help that, you know, get you in the mix? Like,
it could, you know, Jamie, but I think it would be like yesterday's news to join Steph and Klay out in Golden State. What do you think, Hayes?
Let's ask Jack. Jack would definitely be more tuned in than any of us when it comes to the NBA and the feeling throughout it. Here's our TSN Raptors and NBA analyst, Jack Armstrong. Go ahead, Jack, answer that in terms of where Golden State is at and the vibe about the Warriors compared to where they were a couple years ago, and can they get back to the top of the mountain?
I'll join them. You know, if they want to pay me $15-20 million, I'll come out there.
I like it. You'll jack threes.
Yeah, why not? I can handle that. I'll just set screens for those guys. That's all. You know, if that. but seriously, I think you guys are in that right spot. I think it's going to be awfully difficult unless, you know, if they don't make the playoffs and a few ping pong balls bounce and things like that, and, you know, they have opportunities in the draft to improve, and maybe, you know, you're able to get somebody on the mid-level. Maybe next season you get somebody on the buyout market. I think it's going to be difficult. Now, on the other side, you could turn around and say, hey, look, hold on a minute. Klay, Draymond, and Steph won a title without KD.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is they had better depth back then. They had, you know, Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala, people like that. As you guys know, in a cap world, when you have to pay your top people tons of money, it starts eating into how you address those other 12 roster spots. And you're paying Klay, Steph, and Draymond a ton of money. And don't discount, you know, Andrew Wiggins is there as well. And, you know, that's a lot of money. And sooner or later, unless your pro personnel staff is off the charts and your scouting staff in terms of college, international, all that G League, the whole thing, unless they are hitting on every guy they bring in, you're going to have some challenges.
Well, if we kind of sniff that out, Jack, and before we get to the Raptors, I just want your thoughts on this. I read a report, and I don't know, it was Twitter, the Twitter machine, so God knows where it was coming from. But if we know that what's up for Golden State, Steph probably knows what's up for Golden State. What do you think about reports of maybe LeBron talking to Steph and Steph maybe saying, I'm pulling a KD here and I'm just out of here as well?
Wow. I'd be surprised. I mean, he has a great relationship with ownership, and I mean, he's an iconic figure.
Yeah, but if he falls too far out of the game, you know, like these guys want to be in the game, man. They want to be, I don't know.
He needs Klay to come back and be a rock star.
Yeah, like,
that's what he needs.
I think if Klay comes back and Klay's 80% of what he was, the guy's a great shooter, and they, you know, they get another piece or two in the offseason, you know, there's no doubt that they're a playoff team now. Are they a top four team? That's the true challenge. But they have a brand new arena there. Ownership has bent over backwards and treated him great. And knowing Steph and knowing his family, it would have to be something pretty significant that not going right there for him to just pull a stunt like that. It doesn't jive with who he is as a person and who they're and what their family's all about. I mean, I'd be surprised at that.
Well, you talk about iconic status. I was reading a little bit about it and how he is perceived in Northern California. Like, he, in the eyes of some, he's past Montana. He's past Rice. Like, you're talking the god of gods in terms of the sporting world. And if you leave and go to the Lakers, man, that is not something that would be received very well. But the thing is, the Raptors are in a similar spot in the East. You know, they didn't go to five straight. They didn't win three. They didn't win 73, but they did get to the finals. They were consistently a playoff team, and look where they are. You know, they've lost 13 of the last 14. And we've been trying to get a read on how much of this is COVID-related. You know, if you're Bobby Webster, you're Masai Ujiri, how much do you believe in this team, and how much do you look at it and say, we got uprooted, COVID ravaged the team, knocked out a bunch of guys for quite some time. What's your percentage in terms of trying to evaluate what we've seen? Because it's really ugly right now, Jack.
It is. No, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I called the game on TV the other night against Oklahoma City, Oklahoma City's in full tank mode.
Right.
They've acquired, what, they got 18 first-round picks and 16 second-round picks and four pick swaps in the first round, which is remarkable. And yet the Raptors couldn't pull it off against them, you know. So it's concerning. I would say that, you know, from a percentage perspective, the relocation and the COVID stuff, I would put it at least 50%. at least, to kind of dislodge a lot of what they were doing. I think the other element, and I've said this a few times with you guys, people forget the Raptors had the second best record in the entire NBA last year. If they had Serge Ibaka on this team this year and a healthy roster, I still think they're a top four team in the East. And, not having him is a huge, huge blow. And I don't think anyone envisioned how devastating a blow it would be not having him. And I'm not trying to make him sound like he's Elvin Hayes or Wes Unseld or, Bob McAdoo or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or anybody. But he's a damn good player, and he was a damn good player for the Raptors, and he had a career year for them last year. And to have that walk out the door, it was crushing. And, Gasol walking out, you can see. I mean, they've already brought Andre Drummond in L.A. They know he's on his last legs. But losing Ibaka was big. So I would put that in there as well as those other two factors. And, it's just you're getting hit from all sides, and it's been incredibly difficult. And to me, the game, this might sound like crazy, but if you're in the camp that you want the Raptors to make the playoffs, then to me, next Thursday night against Chicago, you got to have that thing circled and say that's the game you got to get. Because in my opinion, Chicago's got a lot of talent, but there's something missing there. And that, they're the team to catch if you want to get into the play-in. So are they going to get to six? I think it's going to be incredibly difficult. But to get in the play-in game, they got to catch Chicago, and playing them head-to-head next Thursday, they have to win that game. And in my opinion, if they get into the play-in situation and they are healthy with their top six guys, they are not going to be fun to play.
What have you seen? What have you liked out of Gary Trent Jr.?
Well, the thing I liked the most was what I saw the other night. If you could replicate that on a consistent basis, you got yourself a great player. I've always liked him. I liked him at Duke. I liked him in Portland. He plays the game real hard on the defensive end. Offensively, his shooting has improved significantly as a pro. He can put it on the floor and get his. He can finish at the rim. He has a pretty good feel for how to play with the other four teammates on the floor. He's young. He's got some pedigree, obviously, with his old man having played in the NBA. He's good. He's good. And when you've given so much money to Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, and Fred VanVleet, now, are they Steph, Clay, and Draymond? No, not at all. But, you got to start looking at those other 12 roster spots and say, economically, how am I spending my money? Where am I getting the best bang for the buck? And clearly with the Norm Powell situation, they felt from an economic standpoint, with Trent being a restricted free agent, there's a little bit more cost control there than would have been the case with Norm Powell. Even though you had his bird rights, he was going to opt out and be unrestricted. You were going to have to pay him at a really high level, kind of like Anunoby and VanVleet. And you got to start making decisions that are difficult, But again, COVID, relocation, but the other one I think people have forgotten about a little bit, not having Ibaka is, if you put Serge Ibaka on the floor the other night against Oklahoma City and you take Aaron Baines out, who got no points and two rebounds, come on.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
You win the game. You win the game. I mean, you win probably five or seven or eight other games in spite of COVID. In spite of being in Tampa, you're maybe not a top four seed because you had COVID and you had Tampa, but you're probably a fifth seed, sixth seed, and if you get everybody healthy down the stretch and everyone back in tip-top physical shape, you're pushing anybody. Nobody wants to deal with you.
Well, we'll see what they got tonight. They're favored out of Vegas. They've been favored a lot recently. They were favored in Detroit, favored in Oklahoma City, and who knows what that means. But we'll see tonight. Have yourself a great weekend, Jack. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this, buddy.
Guys, happy Easter. And by the way, big reason why, obviously, Steph Curry's not playing tonight. So that changed things significantly. But happy Easter, guys. Have a great weekend.
You too. There he is, Jack Armstrong, our TSN Raptors and NBA analyst. Raptors in action tonight, so we'll continue to tee that up throughout the weekend. The Jays are back in action tomorrow. We'll get to that. And Pierre LeBrun still to come. The Leafs playing tonight, too. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. And listen, I would be in the same spot. If you told me to run 40-yard dash right now, I would be struggling. I would not do it in a much quicker pace. I would be faster than the two of them. I would break 10 seconds. I believe that. But in the vertical jump, I think I'd get higher than 17 inches for Al's brother, 13 inches for the O-Dog. But did you see this story about this MMA fighter who I guess fights out of Toronto, is from Toronto, and lost his finger in the cage last Ooh. Night? Yeah. So Aaron Bronstetter tweeted this out last night, that they just made a PA announcement at CFFC 94. So that's some MMA unit. I'm not that familiar with it, but that they're trying to locate a fighter's missing finger. Ugh. It evidently fell off into his glove during the bout and is missing somewhere in the venue. So eventually they found it, and it was still in his glove. Which, why would you not search inside out of a glove when you're looking for a finger that's been, you know, basically decapitated off. Or taken off? Yeah, cut off. But you imagine being in the building.
Yeah.
The voice guy comes over and says, if you could please look under your seats or just, you know, keep your head on a swivel. We got someone in here that's lost a finger in the cage.
And you're sitting at your seat with some chicken fingers.
Right.
You know, like looking through them or something.
Ugh. Dipping into barbecue sauce and thinking, where's this guy's finger? Like, that was a good brawl.
How does it, I mean, I don't even want to know it. Obviously, it just gets ripped off somehow, like.
I think it was the cage. I think he was up against the cage. And it was stuck in there. And then obviously he got, you know, he was doing the alligator roll or crocodile roll or something, trying to get out of something, and it snapped right off. His finger completely off. Oh. They found it. They got it to the hospital, and they, you know, surgically put it back on. I guess that's not the medical way of describing
right.
that at all.
Reattached it or
they
whatever.
They reattached his finger, and I saw a picture of him this morning. He's like, all good. We're back. Finger's fine. This guy will get back in the cage. He'll be back in there in 3 months.
I know. These gentlemen are so tough. They're at a different level. Like, I've seen pictures of it online. It is scary. Like, that is, you know. I remember my first time ever getting called up to the NHL. Like, I was 19 or 20. The reason I got called up, it was for Glenn Healy. And Glenn Healy had taken a slap shot, I believe, on his blocker hand up his stick. And it had cut off, severed the tip of his finger. Then it had to be put back on, and he was out for like a month.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember hearing about that. I've seen him on the panels over the years. I've never noticed it.
Why? Well, like his I don't finger know if he's being got like a kinda little nub or something. Like, I don't know, but
yeah.
I just remember that some form of that scenario, because this would have been 91, because I got called up in Toronto. I ended up having to vote for the strike.
You've told us that story. You were barely in the NHL, and you had a full
literally,
vote.
I had a full vote. I got called up, and we're supposed to go on strike, and I'm playing for the Islanders. We're playing the Leafs the next day. I'm sitting in a hotel room. I got a vote. I actually wanted to vote to play because
of course.
Like, there's a chance I could get in there. So I voted, obviously, to strike. I went, whatever everyone else was doing, I voted along because I was some schlub who got called up. But that was the reason. So they flew me up to Toronto. I joined the team. And then a couple days later, they sent me back down to the minors and called, basically at that time, our third goalie up. I think his name was Danny Lorenz.
That's wild.
But I came.
There's some nasty stories, man. Like in hockey, you see it clearly. See it in football a lot. Like the famous Ronnie Lott story where he had the like tip of his finger cut off so that he didn't miss a play.
That's like, crazy.
Imagine coming to the sidelines and the doctor's like, well, that can't, you know. Obviously, he can't keep playing.
Right.
And he just said, no, I'm going to keep playing. Just take that thing off. And like Brian Baldinger on the NFL Network, we've had him on a lot. He's an awesome guest, great guy. His pinky finger is just, it's off, basically. Like it's on, but it's like a half finger that's always kind of just kind of sitting
there. You call it a nub? Like,
I don't know what's the
correctness for calling some, you know, somebody who's lost a
he hasn't
a
lost
joint.
It, but he's lost all the bone structure. Like, it's just like, it's as if there's nothing in the finger. It's wild.
Crazy.
Final hour coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
Alpine Credits.
Yes, it's your English teacher, Mrs. Nelson.
Uh-oh.
You've been using the word approved quite a lot lately.
True, but...
You know there are alternatives like accepted, authorized, confirmed, validated. Let's try. I own my home and would like a loan.
Accepted-ated.
Alpine Credits, where homeowners get endorsed, confirmed, permitted, allowed, okayed, and approved. Some conditions apply. Alpine Credits.
FSRA License 12616.
This hour is brought to you by Alpine Credits. Do you own your home and need a loan? Alpine Credits can help. Visit alpinecredits.ca to learn more.